1 John 5:13 through 21. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much for having me again. It is such a joy to be in your new sanctuary, to be able to worship with everyone again. Every time I get to visit your church, I get so encouraged because people are so nice to me. When you've been a pastor a long time at your church, that doesn't happen anymore, you know? So when you go to new places, people are, you remember, oh yeah, the church is nice. And I get inspired because I see so many of you having been without a pastor for a long time, yet stepping up even more, it looks like. Just so inspired and challenged by that. So thank you so much for giving me that kind of experience of my life. I know the sermons can't be too long, so I'll get into it right away. But today I wanted just to talk a little bit about, you know, if you have anybody in your life, or maybe you, who is at the point of giving up on the church and God, and just on the verge of, you know, leaving all of that because of disappointment, because of pain, or whatever the case may be. John today helps us to know how we cannot leave but stay. And for those who have left, how they can actually come back. Jim David is a pastor who is also a researcher. And he, him and his team, they did the most comprehensive research of people de-churching in America. There was no data about this in the past, so they were the first ones to actually collect this data and do the most comprehensive study on why and if people are de-churching today in America. And to define somebody who somebody who de-churched is somebody who used to go to church at least once a month, but now goes maybe at best once a year if they do go. But the research showed that right now we are currently in the largest and fastest religious shift in the history of our country. The study showed that 40 million American adults left the church, and largely in the past 25 years. The previous largest shift that we have had was 25 years post-Civil War. These are the times that people were attending church, returning to church, going to church for the first time. Our last 25 years, the shift is 1.25 greater, just going in the opposite direction. In terms of numbers, our shift is larger than the First Great Awakening, Second Great Awakening, and all the Billy Graham Crusades combined, just going in the opposite direction. That's the results that they found. And when they did interviews as to why people left, many of them left because they realized they never believed, so they just stopped attending church. But a lot of them left because they were in pain. There was some kind of disappointment. They have not left God completely yet, but they are disappointed at the church because of pain they receive from either the members of the church or the leadership of the church. So they are no longer going to church at this time. The church of that John was a minister of, they were also going through a lot. John is a seasoned pastor who's trying to shepherd a church that's in pain because they just went through a major split. Some of the old-time members of the church decided all of a sudden, like when we're doing the singing, that they were no longer going to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ nor the scriptures. They didn't want to believe in something that's so old. They wanted to follow a new message that did not include Jesus Christ. And because of that, many had left John's church, but that left the church in pain. Because these were old-time friends, family members who have left the church because they no longer believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the church is in pain. The church is confused because a lot of the members and family members that left were coming back to John's church to actually invite those who were still in it to join them, to leave the gospel, leave the scripture, leave John, leave Jesus, and join what's new. So they're now confused, and they're already in pain, but now, you know, they're perplexed. These are family members and friends who are telling them to follow them. And when you're so emotionally in pain, you don't do things rationally. So it's very tempting to just leave whatever you knew, the Bible, God, and Jesus, and the scriptures, and just follow your friends and family members. So to members like that, the ones who are left, John is trying to minister to them so that they don't leave, so that they regain confidence in the faith, in the church, so that they can continue to do the will of God. So John is going to teach them and us today, who are also experiencing something similar to what the church, John's church experienced, how you and I can regain the faith, the confidence to stay in the church. And if you know anybody who has left, is on the verge of leaving God and leaving the church, how we can get them back close to God. The first thing that first place John takes us to, for anybody that wants to regain confidence in God and re-strengthen your faith, and for anybody who has left God, the way that we can help them come back, John says, is through an experience of God. That's the first place John takes us. Right? In verse 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Okay, he's talking to Christians. He's not talking to non-Christians. He's talking to Christians, and he's reminding them, I want you to know that because of Jesus Christ, your faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You know, eternal, we can do an entire sermon series on eternal life that can take us weeks, but in John, the meaning of eternal life comes down to experiencing God. Because eternal life is something that we get when we were dead. We were dead spiritually. You put your faith in Jesus, and then you come alive spiritually. Now you are alive. You're not dead anymore. You have spiritual life. Now you can see God. You can believe in God. It's a personal experience. It's not talking about facts or anything like that. You know God because you experience God. Is what John is reminding them. And he's taking struggling Christians to experiencing God again, reminding them of their experience of God. Eternal life is spiritual life. So he's leading them to experience life again. For those who are struggling, for those who are burdened and weary and about to give up, or maybe have already left and they're going to leave completely, to anybody who's like that, struggling and in pain and disappointed, John says the antidote for you is experience life again. Experience God again. And the best way to experience spiritual life is always worship. There's no other place, think about it, there's no other place where you can actually experience God, because in no other place do you worship God like you worship him in the church. You can't do that at work. You can't do that at school. No matter where you go in the world, there's nowhere where you actually come to a place together just for the sake of worshiping God. So where do you experience life the most? Where do you experience spiritual life? Where do you encounter about you're about to enter to? And I know that you came to us, betraying us, disappointing us. Jesus was dying for us.
Fruit from you again.
And all the music, and it's all the same. It is not that. Every week, you come back here so that you stay alive. So that you taste life again. Because that's what John says is what we need. If we're about to give up or if we have left already, what we need is not people trying to convince us to come back, although that's necessary. What we need is to taste life again, right? That's how it works in life too. In Costco, they don't tell you to buy something. They give you samples. You taste it and all of a sudden you're skeptical before you taste it. But once you taste it, you start to tell other people, hey, you got to try this. This is actually really good. That's what really changes you. It's an experience of God, and you can only get that at church. Of course, we can do our personal worship and devotionals daily, but where we experience God most profoundly, deeply, and powerfully, it is in corporate worship. So we who are still here, if we want to keep going strong, you must come to worship. Worship must be your priority. You must be filled with life so that you can give life to others. And for those who have left, if you want them to come back to God, invite them. Don't try just to convince them. Invite them to experience God through worship. That's where John goes first. Anybody who is burdened, weary, about to give up, or has left the church, the first thing John takes us to those of us who are struggling, to those who have already left, is experience God again. That's what you and I need. The second thing John says is we need to pray. It is through an experience of God. It is through prayer. John here is trying to encourage, discourage Christians. He's trying to build belief in them about prayer again. They have stopped believing in prayer, like perhaps many of us have as well. They are thinking prayer doesn't make a difference. Why pray? Nothing changes. When you are so discouraged spiritually, that's how we think. We think God's going to do nothing. We think prayer is not going to work. To Christians like that, John is bringing them back to rebuild their faith in prayer and in the power of prayer. It doesn't get any more, he can't use stronger language to guarantee the power of prayer. He says, you who know God, and you know him because you know eternal life, you have tasted God, you know God, the mark of somebody who knows God is they talk to God. Only when you know somebody, you talk to them. We don't talk to strangers. If we don't know them, we don't talk to them. But you who have eternal life, you who know God, naturally the mark of somebody who knows God is we will talk to him. We will pray. Prayer is a mark of somebody who has really tasted eternal life. And here John says, just to encourage him even more, you talk to him, you pray to him, he hears you. The moment you lift up the words that come out of your mouth in prayer, God hears that. And in verse 5, God already has given an answer to your prayer. He's guaranteeing whatever you come to God with, if you pray according to the will of God, God already has a response. He has already answered. The answer might take a while to get to you in a tangible way, but he has already responded. You can be sure it's a guarantee. Your prayers have been heard, and they have already been answered. You who are struggling, you and I need to experience God. We cannot let go of our prayer life. That's where our strength comes. That's where the answers come from. But he says, not only, petition, but he also says intercession. Don't just pray for yourself. Here he says, and this is important for those who have left the church. If you know anybody who's in sin, John says, if you know anybody who's in sin, if you pray for them, God's going to use your prayer to give them life. This is extremely powerful. Because this gives your prayers a lot of importance. God is saying, anybody who's in sin, anybody who has left the path of life and is wandering right now, struggling closer to the path of death, your prayers is what will make a difference and bring them back to experience life. Anybody who's choosing anything other than God and they're right now, just confused and struggling and wondering and on the verge of leaving and they're no longer coming to church, the way that God's going to touch that life again, get them away from the path of death to the path of life, to experience life again, is your prayer. Is that powerful or what? Your prayers can change the destiny of someone's life spiritually. You pray, they come from being in death to the path of life. God will use your prayer. He's guaranteeing to answer your prayers for your own needs. But when you pray for others, he's guaranteeing he's going to use those prayers to bring them back to life. And of course, this is where I was really encouraged about your church, because I know you guys are a church that prays. I am so excited, and I've been hearing about the news of, you know, what's happening in your church and the new chapter that you're about to enter to, and I know that you came to everything that God has in store for you through prayer. You found out the will of God through prayer, which is exactly what John says here, and you experience God's leading through prayer. You experience God's life through prayer. Prayer is what you guys did to see God move in your church. Everything that's happening right now is a result of what you prayed and God has answered. That's how John says we can win back those who are on the path of sin to the path of life is through your prayers. So as you actually start a very exciting new chapter, and I'm sure there are many people in your own life who maybe used to go to church but don't anymore, and they can be here at this moment worshiping together with you guys. The way to invite them back to the path of life is invite them back to experience God. Give them an experience of God. Pray for them and see how God starts to move those who have left to come and return back to him. The last thing John says we need to do if we are tired or if we're on the verge of giving up or if we know of anybody who has left the church and left God, in order to bring them back, we need them to experience God again. We need to experience God. We need the power of prayer in their lives and in our lives. And then John says the last thing we need is to put our trust in Jesus. He ends by saying, Jesus is the one who gives us new life. We're born again. We're a child of God. He's the one who sets us free from sin. He's the one that keeps us from the devil so the devil doesn't touch us. The whole world lies on the embrace of the devil, but we lie in the arms of Jesus. That's what he says. And in the end, he says, Jesus is a true God. He is eternal life. And he says, little children, guard yourselves from idols. What is John saying? John is saying we get disappointed, we experience pain and disappointment in our spiritual lives because we are not trusting in Jesus. We are trusting in idols. That's what John is trying to say. He is the true God. He is eternal life. He's the one that we should be putting our trust in, but we always get in pain and disappointed because we trust in idols and not Jesus. You know, an idol is a good thing that becomes an ultimate thing. An idol is an illusion. An idol is what we make God in our lives, and we expect it to give us what only God can give us. But idols are good things that become ultimate things. People leave the church. Do you know why? Because they get hurt by people. They get hurt by the pastors and the leaders, and they get hurt by the church. These are idols. We blame Jesus for something he didn't do. We leave his church not because he hurt us. He's there to protect us, to keep us, to give us life. But we leave because we're worshiping. We're putting our trust in the church and the pastors and the leaders and the people. And because they disappoint us, we leave God. So anybody who's, you know, wanting to give up or burnt out or whatever the case may be, a good reason why is because we are actually putting our trust in idols and we're not looking to Jesus to satisfy us like he only can. Anybody who's left the church, they left not because Jesus is bad, he's loving, he's the only one that cares, but because we got hurt by idols that we put our trust in, That can be a spouse, that can be a church, that can be a leader, that can be a pastor, friend, church members, work. An idol is something good that we put in the place of God. We put our trust in instead of putting it in Jesus, right? So that's what John says. And John says the way to not leave God, the way to come back is by putting our trust in him, not in idols, not in people, not even in the church or pastors. And he gives us a good reason why we can put our trust in Jesus. Verse 18, and we'll end with this. Verse 18 says, We know that everybody who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. The firstborn of God that John is talking about in verse 18 is us. We are born of God. We are born again. We're dead, but now we have born again. We're spiritually born again. We have new life. We have spiritual life. So we're born again because of Christ. But the second born again, he's talking about Jesus. Because he says the one who's born again keeps us from the evil one, protects us. So he's saying Jesus was born also. Jesus was born as a human being. Remember, Jesus was born as a human being into chaos, into pain, into suffering, into an imperfect world. He gave up all the treasures of heaven to actually be born as a human being. He was born into this fallen life. Not just born, but to actually die for us so that we can live, so that we can have life. This is why we can trust in Jesus, because he proved it with his life. When people are hurting us, betraying us, disappointing us, Jesus was dying for us. When somebody dies for you, you can trust in them. You can trust in their love. They mean what they say. They really love you. They're proving it to you by giving their life for you. He was born to protect us from the evil one, so he couldn't touch us so that we would stop sinning. He was also born. He was born not into, you know, becoming a child of God and experiencing life, but he was born into this fallen world as God himself so that he can die for us. If he dies for us, we can trust him. If he's willing to go that far, he's somebody that we can trust. So John says, the way to not get disappointed, to finish the race faithfully until the end, it comes down to do not put your trust in idols. Everybody will fail you and disappoint you, no matter who they are, no matter what it is. Trust in Jesus. He's trustworthy. He gave his life for you. An interesting thing about the research that was done about people de-churching in America was that most of them actually said that they're willing to come back to the church and give it another try only if asked by somebody that they trusted. So it's very interesting that they left the church, but they're so open to coming back only if asked by somebody, you know, close to them that they can trust. There's people maybe in your life, in my life, that we can help them return to the path of life, return to God. And the way to do that, John says, is by inviting them to experience God, inviting them to experience the power of prayer in their lives, and this time, inviting them to put their trust in the right place, to put their trust in Jesus, to point them to Jesus, the only one who will never disappoint. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, and we just thank you for everything that you're doing in this place. And Lord, we ask that as a lot of new things are happening in this church, new location, new pastor, and new ministries, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen everybody here, God. Everybody who may be tired or weary, God, give them strength, give them joy. And we pray, God, that you would do glorious things, new things that bring you glory and that bring your people back to you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.